Today's January 1st, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $44,115.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy New Year, Rick.
Happy New Year.
How are you doing today?
That's a pretty good start to the new year.
Yeah, did you get hammered last night or anything?
Oh, no. Family's been sick for a bit now, actually, since before Christmas. So, my sleep's getting hammered. That's about it.
That's about all, yeah. It's funny because we played board games with the family last night. I feel wiped out today. I don't know if I'm coming down with something myself now, but yeah, I feel pretty hammered.
I know that there is some stuff going around, so hopefully not, but
yeah,
maybe it's your turn.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Like, I feel like I'm just going to try and take it easy for the rest of the day today and get this episode out to you fine folks. I was actually listening to our New Year episode from 2023, and there was some interesting stuff in there, and I kind of wanted to go over what I felt were some of the top stories from 2023 within the cryptocurrency space, and then perhaps some predictions for 2024 from some of the players that are out there, and then also kind of what the economic outlook is for the United States for 2024, what some of the predictions are that we're seeing there. So kind of just a wrap up for 2023, really, and kind of a preview of what we're thinking is going to happen in 2024. And honestly, something I would like to do too is get our personal price predictions for what the price will be at the end of 2024. It's kind of crazy to start saying 2024 so much. Like, I'm not used to it yet.
Yep. It's the first day, so.
Yeah. First day, new books, everything's going to get closed, and we're going to start opening new chapters all the way across the board, whether it's business or not, you know. Be kind of curious to see what the GDP numbers come in like as we go into the 2024, you know, what 2023 ended up actually looking like. And then, of course, what Q4 numbers look like. CPI, I mean, we have all that stuff to look forward to.
Indeed.
So, kind of starting off with some of the review stuff from 2023, one of the first big things was we opened up the episode last year. I think we did the episode on January 2nd, and we were actually discussing what the price was at the time, and that was where we were kind of at the low for Bitcoin when we look at 1 year. Of where we were at, and it was in the $15,000 range. Now, by the time we'd gotten to, where we were actually recording, by the second week of January, we were already back above 21,000. But one of the big things that happened was we saw a big rally around the time that we saw Silicon Valley Bank collapse, right?
Yep, back in March 2023.
Yeah, and that's where Bitcoin kind of really tested its resolve and really rallied back above the $20,000 level, which I think we'd got into 2022 at that point, and I think in the podcast we had talked about how, you know, it's not common for Bitcoin to drop below, you know, there's a certain level that Bitcoin had never gone below. There was a lot of firsts that took place at the end of last year where we had never seen Bitcoin dip below its kind of previous all-time high from the previous bull cycle, which would have been, you know, around the $19,000 point, and we did go below that. And then we started to see Bitcoin rally, and then it just kind of continued to rally throughout the year. So, you know, we basically finished between 40 to 45,000 for the year. We're actually kind of rallying right now, and Obviously, the markets in the United States, pretty much around the world, are all closed today because it's a holiday, New Year's Day. But just kind of touch back on some of the events that took place over 2023 and what some of those big things were. And one of the biggest ones, obviously, was the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. And then there was quite a few that all kind of happened around that time. Do you remember what some of the other ones were?
Well, I remember Signature Bank.
Yeah.
If that was them, also collapsed. And that was the second biggest bank collapse in American history.
And that was a weird one, too, because they said there was nothing that was wrong with them. Do you remember that?
Right. Yeah. They were just dealing with cryptocurrencies at the time, and it seemed like the feds were just not slapping the wrist. That's like the demonic death touch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of insane because, you know, and we saw that. We saw that throughout 2023 was we saw a stripping of kind of anything that was, and I mean, Signature Bank, at least it was a traditional bank, but anything that's not within the, I guess, the financial norm was kind of really getting hurt bad. And it seems like they were laying a lot of groundwork for things that we're starting to see the kind of the fruition of now, I think. We saw Binance get shut down, which was, I mean, that's really the world's largest crypto exchange by volume in the world, you know, and we saw CZ get basically stepped down and got replaced, you know, kind of swept under the rug, you know. Thankfully, that was kind of a non-event within the crypto markets.
Yeah. I mean, compared to the FTX scandal, that was pretty mild.
Yeah. And well, and that was the other thing that we had was the FTX scandal kind of that ended, right? Like, I mean, that all happened right before the end of 2022. And then we saw, you know, he was found guilty, all those types of things that happened this last year as well. But that was really what created the crypto market, you know, and drove us below that $20,000 mark, basically, whenever all that kind of went down.
Right.
And just the amount of fraud that was going on within that exchange, between that whole fiasco. One of the other big things that we had happen in 2023 was the XRP lawsuit partially came to an end. It's not completely done, but it's not necessarily always a security, which was a huge win for the cryptocurrency space.
Right.
That was a big one. We also had the Court of Appeals go against the SEC because they kept on denying Grayscale's Bitcoin ETF application.
Well, that's really the second loss. I mean, it kind of goes back to the first loss being the SEC's opinion was everything not Bitcoin was a security.
Yep.
That got slapped out. And then the second one here that you're mentioning.
Yeah, and this was August 29th. This was the DC Circuit Court of Appeals basically saying that, you know, if you are okay with a futures ETF for Bitcoin existing, why not do the physical one? You have no grounds to deny this. So, you know, it basically forced them to put it back on review. We didn't get an approval yet, but it forced them to say, hey, you need to look at this again. And then we had kind of the big news that took place, and that was BlackRock filing for their Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah. And basically prices went from 30,000. I mean, they stood at 30 from March, and they were kind of hovering around that mark, but after that, it jumped to 40.
Yeah.
And it didn't really look back.
No, it didn't. I mean, we haven't seen it go below 40. Kind of a interesting time for sure. I thought for sure we may get a lull, you know, in that time frame. And now one of the big things that we're seeing for 2024, and obviously we're knocking on the door of that, is that they're talking about we may get the approval this week or next.
Right. Yeah, I think the latest dates that I was hearing was sometime like the 8th, 9th, or 10th for the spot ETF to go live.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, and that would be kind of crazy. Like there's a lot of different advertisements now that are kind of hitting the streets or hitting the interwebs as they were, kind of promoting a Bitcoin ETF, kind of promoting Bitcoin in general. And we've talked about this on the podcast too. Like this is going to be such an interesting time where you're going to basically see that it's going to be a weird passing of the torch in a way, where it's going to go from, I mean, I think people like us will continue to cover Bitcoin. I think there's just too much in the market to not make it worth covering, but you're going to see it being handed off into traditional markets.
Well, I think this is basically the gateway for a lot of institutions to get real exposure to Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I've seen some crazy stuff coming out from Max Keiser. I don't know how much of it is true, but he's talking like $500 trillion investment coming from the Saudi Arabian, you know, the Middle Eastern countries. There was a big proclamation that was made where Bitcoin is now, I think it's halal. Is that what they call it? Or am I saying that wrong?
Halal. You're talking about like where it's
basically allowed within the Muslim religion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's not exactly how I would describe it. But yeah, I mean, not just allowed, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to.
It's like, it's kind of almost like their dietary needs, you know, be halal is to mean to be more pure.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't eat pork or anything like that. So I think that's more or less along the lines of what they're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of those restrictions or one of those things that they need to be able to do it within the bounds of the religion, basically. And so, I mean, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if that's really going to happen. I mean, $500 trillion purchase of Bitcoin, especially at this point, if we have that happening and we have the halving and then we have all the ETFs buying, like we've talked about supply shock in the past when it comes to Bitcoin.
And we've never seen it.
We haven't seen it. We keep on talking about how it's getting so close, it's getting so close, it's getting so close. And now we're looking at probably a sub 1 million Bitcoin available on the market. And then it, more than likely with these ETFs, like, you know, we've gone back and forth where it seemed like, well, BlackRock we know for sure, but it seems like many, probably at least 8 to 9 may get approved all at the same time. Like, I don't know. What does that look like? And, and I'm kind of curious with the ETFs, like what they're going to be selling. I know it's not going to be a whole Bitcoin on the ETF. Like they're going to sell fractions of a Bitcoin.
Right.
But like, what's that price going to be? Like, what's it denominating at? Like, where are we going to be looking at with that? So there's a lot of things that I'm unsure on. And then, you know, once the approval happens, are we going to see a sell the news event?
You know, I think it will be kind of a sell the news event, at least sell the top, you know, and then grab in when it dips a little bit. I mean, if you've got some cojones of steel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you definitely don't want to miss the mark on that if $500 trillion goes in from Saudi Arabia, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even want to say Saudi Arabia. I may have misquoted that. We'll just say the Middle East.
The Middle East. I mean, they have that kind of money out there.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Pictures of Abu Dhabi and things like that. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. The cash thing is not an issue for them at all. And if they decide they're going to make that kind of a move and put it within their treasuries or whatever the case may be, they're going to do it. And, you know, they'll make Michael Saylor, you know, look pauperish by that regard, you know, if they do actually do that kind of a flex. Because they want to own like 1 million Bitcoin. They would buy up the supply essentially if they get in before, you know, even the ETFs hit.
Right.
Go ahead.
I don't think the ETFs going live, I think it'll make some difference in price, but I don't think it's going to be the big catalyst. If I was going to say what's going to be the next driver is going to probably be rate cuts from the Federal Reserve, and them turning on the printing presses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you are correct on that.
Because, I mean, going back to Silicon Valley Bank, the issue that they have is that a lot of the banks bought treasury, you know, bonds, really big ones at the low interest rates. And ever since the Federal Reserve has been increasing rates, increasing over the past couple of years, it's devalued their bonds. So like if they have to scramble for cash for whatever reason, say they have just a lot of depositors demanding their money back, a lot of banks are in, they're in poor positions to accommodate that. And I think the remedy for that is the Federal Reserve turning on the printing presses. I think that's what's happening right now. I can't say for sure. But, you know, as interest or inflation picks up steam again, that's what's going to be the catalyst to drive everyone to Bitcoin and gold and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think you're wrong. And I think part of that, I think what we're going to do here next is we're going to go into what the economic conditions or what the predictions are for 2024. Because I think that would be kind of interesting. And then we'll close out basically with Bitcoin price predictions for 2024. But so, I mean, I've only got like five different things here that are kind of looking at predictions for 2024 for the U.S. economy. But I think they are kind of interesting and they kind of tie into what exactly what you were just talking about. So one of the first ones is the GDP growth rate is projected to decline from 2.5% in 2023 to 1.7% in 2024 as higher interest rates and inflation dampen consumer and business spending. And that's part of the reason why I'm curious to see what they come out with as the GDP numbers for 2024 as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I've been saying for the longest time that the numbers coming from the government are basically just gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really believes them. The economic sentiments are not very good across the board, but, you know, we'll keep letting them put up their numbers until something breaks.
Well, and we're seeing that all over again where it's, you know, and we talked about this when I was listening to those old episodes. We talked about this where, you know, they're saying one thing and then they go back, they reevaluated the CPI basket of numbers, like how that was going to work. Right.
Right.
So there's so much smoke and mirrors in play, and you got to remember we're heading into an election year. So I don't know. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out. We've got the stock market, you know, they're doing extremely well right now.
Right. I mean, for all the forecasts of a crash in 2023, we're basically at all-time highs right now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that dogged our early episodes last year was, and it's something we had talked about for so long, we were bringing up Michael Burry at the very beginning of January, you know, January 2nd when we did that episode. All these doom and gloom predictions for the economy, and somehow we're skated through it. Like I think the second episode is when eggs were going through the roof.
Right.
You know, a lot of those types of things that were happening. Next thing I have on for the prediction for the U.S. economy for 2024, inflation rate is forecasted to moderate from 4% in 2023 to 2.7% by the end of 2024 as supply chain and bottleneck ease and demand cools down. But again,
well, it seems like they're getting kind of close to that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they do.
Now that we're living it, it's close-ish. I mean, things are still going up in price, but demand definitely seems to be a little bit cooler. The supply chain's not quite as messed up as it was.
Yeah. And one of the big things like my company's been trying to do is return all the surplus product that we had sitting in the warehouses, try and get some of that stuff back out so they can increase their cash flow. Because people were sitting on so much stock, you know, never knowing like what was going to happen. We, you know, going through the whole pandemic and the supply chain shortages that we had there, we did really good for the first part of 2020, for all of 2020. Then 2021 got really rough. 2022 got even rougher. And then by 2023, we were like, well, we need to make sure and hold on to or order extra, you know, all that kind of thing, just to make sure we don't have the supply issues that we had in the previous year. And so now they've got this surplus and they're trying to get that back in. So that's kind of interesting. So I will agree with that. Like, I do think the supply chain issues have kind of gone away and that bottleneck is gone. Federal Reserve is likely to end its hiking cycle in early 2024 and start cutting rates in mid-2024 as inflation falls and growth slows.
Yeah, I think that goes in line with what I'm saying. I think there's something that's happening in the banking system. They will be cutting rates. They will be turning on the printing press.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how much are we going to feel it? How much is it going to affect inflation? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. At what point is it going to get so bad? Because we kept on talking about maximum pain and those types of things last year, especially in the beginning of the year, listening to those early episodes. And where's that coming from? Like, we've talked about this. We've seen predictions for recession and depression up until they've redefined what a recession was, you know? So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that kind of plays out. The housing market is expected to see a modest rebound in 2024 as lower mortgage rates and more inventory boost sales, but price appreciation will be slower than in 2023.
Yeah, I could see that happening. If rates get cut, then there's more incentive to buy.
Yeah.
You know, while rates are at the relative, you know, the 20-year highs, I guess. I mean, there's no reason to be financing something if you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't see people trying to refi their mortgages that are sitting, you know, on 3.5% or less, right?
Right.
I think we're still a little bit away from that, but I could be wrong. I mean, it depends on what the economy does, because we've talked about this before, too, where it's the stairs increasing that interest rate as we progress through the year. And then once they decide to cut, it's usually the elevator down.
Right.
Last one I have on here is fiscal deficit is projected to narrow from 7.4% of GDP in 2023 to 5.9% of GDP in 2024 as spending tightens and interest payments rise.
Now, who are they talking about as tightening spending? Because they're not talking about Congress, are they? Because
yeah, I don't. It doesn't. It says this is coming from J.P. Morgan on this one. I'm not sure exactly what they're talking about there because, yeah, you're absolutely right. The government's not going to do it.
No. Even with the Republican House, I mean, things have only been picking up pace and the deficits are larger than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see that being the federal government cutting back. You know, especially going into election year, as we've discussed, they're going to try and make it look as rosy as possible, and they're going to spend a lot of money doing it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are kind of what some of the predictions were for 2024 for the U.S. economy as a whole that I thought were kind of interesting and something possibly worth talking about, and things to kind of keep our eye on. One of the other things that I thought was really interesting was J.P. Morgan actually got listed as one of the authorities for BlackRock for the Bitcoin trading.
No, I saw that.
Did you see that?
And I'm just thinking, well, Jamie Dimon, I mean, you know, he's been having such great things to say about Bitcoin, right?
He is such a saintly man. Yeah. Well, he went before Congress and said he would ban it. If it were up to him, he would ban it.
You know what, though? I believe him.
Yeah.
As far as banning Bitcoin. But that's the beauty of it. It's decentralized, and there is no banning it. There is no putting that genie back in the bottle.
Mm-mm. There's not. And, you know, regardless, he's still going to make money on it.
Yep.
So take with that what you will. Like, I mean, yeah, I was just like, that little snake in the grass. So do we want to do what some of these price predictions are before we give our personal price predictions, or do you want to give our personal price predictions and then go into these some of these talking head price predictions?
We might as well give our own first before we get tainted by others.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's a good idea.
Do you
want to go?
I'll go ahead and go first. I'll say, you know, Bitcoin basically doubled in value from last year, right? From January to January, 2023 to 2024, it went from like 20,000 roughly to 44,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the January 2nd episode that we did was 15,000, like 700 or something like that.
Okay. So that was like basically the bossman of that cycle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good return. That's three times the value. So if we just look at that and multiply it by basically three times the value, we're going to end up somewhere in the neighborhood of what? 135?
Yeah. Yeah, 120, 130.
Something like that. I'll say 135 just because.
Yeah, and I'm going to give it a range. I'm going to say, I think, and I'm pretty much right in line with you. And normally we're not that close together because normally, like, I'm way super hyperbole. And you're usually a little bit more reserved in that sense. But yeah, I think my range is like between 125,000 to 150. I think it's kind of my range of what I think we'll end up settling at. And, you know, actually talking about this right now, like the price is actually doing really well. We started this episode, it was at 44,115. We're at 44,700 right now.
Just in a few minutes, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Something's happening out there. But anyway, so yeah, so basically we're in that, I'd say that's a pretty close range together. I think we're pretty right on. Now what it'll be at the end of 2025, I don't know. That's a whole nother thing. We'll have to see how this year plays out, but we'll start with this and we'll go from basically the lowest to the highest. And there's actually quite a few that are quite a bit lower than where we're at. So first one is Mark Mobius, and he is stating that Bitcoin is going to reach $60,000 by the end of 2024, which that's nothing. Like that's probably one of the safest bets that I've heard so far.
Yeah, that's pretty milquetoast.
Yeah, like, I mean, you get a couple quarters of awesome gains and that's nothing, you know, especially considering we went from 15,000 to, 42,000, 44,000, basically within a year. Bitmining, which is run by Yue Wiang, and he's the chief economist at the crypto mining firm. He says the price is going to be 75,000. By the end of 2024.
Again, kind of milk toast, but, you know, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I'm being kind of reserved in my predictions.
I think so, too. Like, we haven't seen this before. Like, we have not seen Bitcoin be that available to so many institutions. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. Next up is CoinShares. And this is coming from James Butterfill, head of research at CoinShares. He says that Bitcoin, they're looking at $80,000. Still nothing crazy. I mean, a little bit higher up there. Obviously, we broke through the all-time high at that point. I mean, we do with $75,000 as well. But Mark Mobius, like, we don't even hit the all-time high with that, with the $60,000 that he's predicted. Next up is Nexo, and this is coming from Antony Trenchev, co-founder of Nexo, a cryptocurrency exchange, and he thinks that Bitcoin could hit $100,000 in 2024. So he's getting closer to where we're at, right?
Yep. He's at least hitting the six figures.
Mm-hmm. Standard Chartered, and one of the things that I found was interesting with them was last year, like if you go back and listen to our January episode from 2023, Standard Chartered believed that Bitcoin was going to hit $10,000 in 2023. That was their prediction. They were on the low end. And actually, they're on the opposite end at this time. So Standard Chartered is saying $100,000. One of the other ones that we actually talked about last time as well, Carol Alexander, University of Sussex Professor of Finance, she is stating $100,000. Here's one that's actually really close in line with us, and this is Matrix Port. It's a crypto financial service firm released a note in November projecting that Bitcoin could reach 125,000 by the end of 2024. So that's kind of right there with us. Venture capital fund GoCoin Fund, they're probably the highest that I've seen so far. They're saying 500,000 by the end of next year.
Wow. See, that's one heck of a jump.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing in between.
25 to 500.
To 500,000.
That's like four, that's over four times the amount.
Yeah, well, and I think it was kind of funny because last year when we did this episode two, we looked at basically Bitcoin was, the range was either, I think it was 10,000 all the way up to 250,000, I think was the range for 2023. And I don't think either one of us were like, yeah, oh, it's going to 250,000 last year. We knew that it wasn't. But now this year, our range is basically 60,000 to 500,000. Again, a huge swath.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, on the upper range, like maybe. I don't think we're going to get to 500,000 Bitcoin yet, but I could be completely wrong. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with the way that, with such a limited supply item like this, and if the demand goes through the roof, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. People ask me, like, well, what's that going to be like? And I'm like, we've never seen anything like that.
Well,
it doesn't matter how much pressure you apply.
Well, I guess we'll find out in May, right? What does it look like when there's some demand and then half the Bitcoin are now available to the open market?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and considering, I think, you know, close to 90% of the Bitcoin that's ever going to exist already exists now. And, you know, when they're talking about only a million, basically, that's out there available. I don't know. There's not enough out there for every millionaire to have one.
Is there even enough for every millionaire to have 0.1?
No, I don't think there is. I mean, not at current levels for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's going to be an interesting kind of experiment this next year. We may really see demand shock go into play.
Well, if it does, I mean, that'll basically close the window on ordinary people being able to buy substantial portions of Bitcoin. By substantial, I mean anywhere approaching a tenth of a Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think they were saying that if you can get to above 0.0285, you're going to be above, like, 90% of the population. If you can get to that level.
That's because most of the population hasn't even dipped their toe into it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So even at this point where it's 45,000, you're still one of the early adopters.
Yeah, yeah. And until then, like, that's, and I think that's probably the big thing about this ETF is that it is really that, it's that transition. It's the gateway, right?
Right.
Where all of a sudden, I mean, where you will have, you know, people going into financial advisors' offices and they will be like, we're going to recommend maybe, 1 to 2% allocation of your portfolio into Bitcoin. They still don't do that right now. You know,
yeah.
That would be kind of an interesting question. Like if I was speaking with a financial advisor, be like, I would probably ask them, be like, what's your recommendation on Bitcoin? If they tell me don't buy it, I would probably walk out of that office.
Yeah. And then if you ask them what their opinion of treasuries are, they say, let's buy up as many as you can. And we definitely aren't around than none.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Like, I may actually buy some ETF shares. I'm kind of just to have it within my stock portfolio too.
Yeah.
Depending on what the price does.
That's definitely that's an option that a lot of people in their 401ks now will have, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pensions, 401ks, like, you know, and I know a lot of 401ks, like you just get like the kind of the lifestyle mix or whatever the case may be. But if you have any option where you can actually play with some money within it, that would be interesting to see too. Like how much can people allocate? Even if they allocated 5% on their own. Oh, now we're at 44,844. We may cross 45,000 while we're recording this today.
That'll be kind of a mark because it's been really reticent to do that. This is getting pretty close, actually.
Yeah.
45 is the barrier that it keeps bouncing off of.
Huh. It's kind of interesting. Everybody decided to rally at the same time. Crazy times. What do you got on the newsletter front? What do we got going on there?
Yeah, I kind of been talking about new year, new beginnings, and just talking about some of 2023. Like it was just kind of weird, and it just, if I could describe it in one word, it'd be instability or unstable. And if I could describe 2024, what I expect it to be, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about geopolitically. We're Americans, so obviously our political system is kind of run amok. I don't know what direction that's going to take, because I don't think the establishment wants anything to do with Trump being the Republican nominee, but it seems like everything they do to stop him only backfires. And then I also don't see Joe Biden being the presidential nominee from the Democrats.
Really? Who do you think that's going to come? Who do you think it'll be?
I don't know. I mean, my suspicion is Gavin Newsom, but I think that's a no-win situation. Because when you look at Joe Biden, even for Joe Biden, he's looking rough these days.
Yeah.
Like his decline is very noticeable. And I don't take a whole lot of pleasure in saying that. I think what's being done to him is elder abuse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not really a big fan of Joe Biden, but I just don't like to see what's happening.
No, but it's not. Yeah. I don't even think he would survive another term.
No.
And nothing, like, you know, it's health issues. Like, I mean, he's just not there.
He's not there. I mean, even what's the over-under on him surviving until the election? I mean, anybody who's had a relative that's gone through dementia and that type of thing, I mean, you start seeing those signs. It's pretty ghastly, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of chaos on that front. Economically, I mean, with the Federal Reserve turning on the printing press, what's that going to do economically to us? You know, people have been calling for crashes forever, and right now we're at the all-time high in the S&P, but how long can that ride last?
Well, and it goes back to that whole thing. Like, when you think of 2019, 2020, everybody was hurting. The stock market wasn't, but everybody else was. And that's because they were just sucking up that money as quick as they could right up there at the top.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing we're seeing again right now. And that's before, like, they have officially turned on the printing presses.
Yep.
We know they're printing. Obviously they are.
Yeah. They low-key turned them on, but they've not announced it yet.
Right. And so, I mean, and that's going to be the thing, is they're going to try and blow the sunshine, because they're going to say, look at all this stocks and look at all these investments. People are doing so good, only if they had the money to have the money to buy the assets at the time. Yep. If you don't have the assets, you're not sucking in all that sunshine.
Matter of fact, you're being priced out as time goes on and inflation gets worse.
Yeah.
So, hey, the gist of my newsletter is, I think in the chaos, the best position that you can have, and not financial advice, but in my opinion, the best position you can have is in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's outperformed everything else. I mean, gold will probably do well, But if you look at what gold has done in the past year versus what Bitcoin has done in the past year, gold's done okay, but Bitcoin has tripled in value in 1 year.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah, gold, like, let's look at this here. Gold started off, it was looking okay 1 year ago. But it hasn't done anything crazy. What, let's see. 1 year.
It's over 2,000 an ounce now, right?
Yeah, but it was at 1821 at January 3rd, 2023. And it is at $2,063 right now.
So it's gained, you know, $200. So a little over 20%. Whereas Bitcoin in the same time frame has gained, what, 300%?
Yeah. It's gone. Hey, it's gone nuts. Like 16,596 to 44,700, we'll say roughly. I mean, because it keeps on, that price keeps on bumping up and down. Like over 200%, right?
Yeah, it's going to be knocking on 300% store, but it's not quite there.
I mean, yeah, and I don't think there's anything out there that has even come close to doing that.
Nope. So, yeah. So if you can, sign up for the newsletter. We'll be sending that out pretty regularly. Just kind of giving you little news and breakdowns and just insights on what's happening in the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency space. So,
yeah, all our opinion. And I mean, and we hope to have some more. And obviously we've talked about cold storage. There's a couple links available on our site where you can get yourself a Elipal or a Ledger device. I know we've talked a lot of different things about Ledger, but I have not had any issues with mine. And hopefully we can get some more affiliates on there. So you get some options and we get a little bit of kickback if you decide you want to support that way.
Absolutely. And we won't be shilling something every time. We'll just be giving out some news and then every once in a while just promoting something that we're doing. So,
yep. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't foresee us, other than if we sell merch, I don't foresee us ever requesting money from anybody like that.
Right.
So, and maybe if we sell like a specified course or something that we put a lot of work into, but we want to make sure and share as much of this information with you as possible. I mean, who knows what the educational system will look like coming from the financial institutions when it comes to Bitcoin, and maybe they're going to make it really basic. Maybe some people aren't even going to be aware that they can do self-custody. So, well,
yeah, I wouldn't doubt that if you get it from the mainstream sources. So.
Yeah, because we already know, like, these first rounds of ETFs, they're going to be cash-only creates. So, you know, you buy it with cash. When you sell it, you don't get to take possession of the Bitcoin. You only get to sell back out as cash. So, something to watch out for.
Absolutely.
But thank you all for listening, and we do hope you have a prosperous and happy 2024.
Matt.